We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 119. We are creeping our way up there. Felt like just yesterday we recorded 100, and we're creeping towards the season. I am so ready for baseball to start. Scott, what's going on?
You know, it wouldn't be the first week of spring training unless you got some injuries popping up already. And, you know, it's a little bit of a downer news and to get in with all of the great news of seeing guys start throwing and start hitting. So we can thank the front office. We could thank some weird nagging injuries, some foul balls. Like, I guess if Mark Teixeira retires, someone else has to take that spot, right, and foul a ball off his foot and get some weird freak injury.
Someone needs an annoying foot injury. Like last year, Brian Mitchell had it. Now it's going to be Tyler Austin's foot.
Yeah. But, yeah, other than that, you know, other than that and squirrel issues, I'm good. You know, I just I can't get rid of this.
So I'm on the
squirrel.
Edge of my seat. You teased it. You haven't told me yet. What's going on with this freaking squirrel?
Okay, so if you were listening 2 weeks ago, or I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, you know that I had a squirrel that was getting in my side of my house into the attic. I solved that problem and blocked off that hole. It was like an old dryer vent that wasn't even being used anymore. Done, okay? I thought we were good. I come back from San Francisco, and I pull in the freaking driveway, and there is a hole on the side of like the fascia board, the trim, the wood trim on the side of the house, you know, that goes up on the roof line next to the gutter that goes inside the soffit where the gutter is. So it's basically getting into the soffit, which you can get into direct access into the attic from there. And then in the exact same spot at the second floor, there's like another roof line with gutters. The same damn squirrel chewed a hole the size of like, I don't know, two softballs on the fascia board through the wood and got into the attic again in a different way. This dude is like a squirrel on steroids.
I think it's taunting you now.
It absolutely is. I have the unbelievable measures that I have gone through since I've gone back for this goddamn squirrel is ridiculous. And the people that you have do like your pest control and all that crap, they don't deal with squirrels. They'll deal with rats and mice and any other insect you can find. But they don't mess with squirrels. Like you got to get like a because you have to get like a wrangler because it's like a wild animal. I don't know, but so I am literally like, I hear the dude on the roof and I have dusted off the BB gun. The BB gun is now dusted off, is tuned up. BBs have been purchased. I have been outside. I have like two posts outside where if I hear him on one side, I go outside. Out the door and like get the loaded gun that's already there because I load it and pump it and get ready to pop this guy. And the dude just is gone by the time I get out there practically.
Yeah, you're getting outsmarted by a squirrel.
I have had to oil the back door hinges so that it doesn't make noise. Yeah, it's utterly ridiculous.
I honestly think that you found a demon squirrel and he's taunting you. I mean, he probably does this with a lot of homeowners. Now he just moved on to you guys.
He's now also, so those are the two holes. And it's the exact same spot in the roof line, right? Like, he's no dummy. He's going to the same spot knowing that there's a cavity behind it that he can get into. So he's also, now that he knows I'm onto him and I know where he's going to be, he's gone to all four points of the roof line and started on each one of them. So if I go to the front, he just goes over the roof and goes to the back. It's unbelievable.
This is stupid. Squirrels, I just realized how stupid of a comment was. I'm not saying it. Anyway. You got to lure him out with something. You got to like lure him out with some nuts.
He's on the, he's like 60 feet in the air, 55, 50, 60 feet in the air. There's not much I can do. He jumps to a tree. It's the second floor of a house. I mean, that's, maybe it's not that high. I don't know.
Nope, it's not nearly that high. It's like 25 feet.
No, it's not 25 feet. Anyway, so it gets better. I have definitely shot him at least twice. There's no doubt I made contact twice.
Well then, is this a big squirrel?
He's not small. And he's on steroids. I'm telling you, he's like the Jose Canseco of squirrels. He doesn't feel pain. I can see blood like mixed into his fur. There's like a dark patch on the back. And he's not going. He keeps coming back.
Well,
he's
storing stuff up there. He's obviously got some food or something. Maybe his family's living up there.
No, there's nothing in there. we've looked through the attic in there. There's nothing in there.
You need to lure it out and you need to trap it.
He's not in. That's the thing. He's not in. He just keeps jacking up my house. He just keeps chewing and scratching through my house. He's basically ruining the outside of my home. So it's me or him. He's affecting my livelihood right now. And I just can't handle it anymore. I'm literally gonna have to sit outside for hours and wait till he gets there and just be very quiet and then pop a cap in his head. Because that's just gonna happen. That's the only way to solve this problem.
What's annoying you more right now? Randy Levine's comments about Dellin Betances or this squirrel?
I'm not gonna lie to you guys. It's the squirrel. The squirrel I expected, I think, from Levine and Trust and all those guys. The squirrel, I did not expect this. I didn't think a squirrel had this type of ability. So I'm dumbfounded.
Is there like a subreddit of squirrels? Because there's got to be. This has to happen to many people.
I don't know. I haven't really done all that. I don't see any other solution besides it's got to be me or him. That's the only way out of this, I feel like. I've gotten some stupid spray that they have at Home Depot that are supposed to...
Is he a Yankees fan? Because if you go out, I'm going to need a co-host.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to be me. He's going down. I will play injured if he attacks me. And I can see it come down to that because I don't think he's going to stop very easily.
All right. So we're going on like 6 minutes of squirrel talk. I think people are ready for us to move on.
Unbelievable. But yes. So baseball, Yankee baseball. At least there's a distraction from the squirrel now.
So we have a lot of stuff to talk about this week. Before we do that, though, I want to mention the 25% off code for the fan shop. I know people are using it. We get some DMs clarifying what the code is last week. I hope everyone spelled it correctly. This week it'll be a little easier. We're going to go with Betances. And I think because you said what? That the Yankees got him at a discount. So you can also get some Yankees Bronx Pinstripes merch for a discount using code Betances for the next week.
Yeah, zero salt in the wounds on that one.
Also, as I'm sure everyone knows, March 24th and 25th, the two of us will be down in Tampa at Yankee Spring Training. We're going to that Friday and Saturday game. We are working on a location. Hopefully soon we will have that determined. Possibly a brewery. We got a couple suggestions. If you guys are in the Tampa area or familiar with the Tampa area, tweet us your opinion on where you'd like for us to meet up. Ideally, it would be somewhere in the downtown Tampa area or close to the field, so there's not much traveling going on. But we're pretty much a month away from that trip, so I know a lot of people have said they're going to be down there, and I'm really looking forward to it. I cannot wait to not only see live action baseball, but also to meet some of the fans of this podcast. It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely, man. I'm looking forward to it. I know Friday is what we're talking about doing an event or just kind of a meetup outside after the game. And then Saturday, we're most likely going to be doing something, you know, just hanging out at the game at one of those bars in the right or left field. They're throwing us off a little bit just because of all the construction. There's not, you know, an exact logistics because everything's different. But it's going to be right or left field, you know, after one of the games, probably Saturday.
Cool. All right, let's get into the Yankees stuff here. Spring training workouts are going on. You know what I always find funny? I saw a tweet today. It was a video of Austin Romine and Gary Sanchez doing pop-up drills. And I'm like, that's what you teach catchers in Little League, and they got these professionals doing these drills that you literally do since T-ball. And it's like some things never change. You just keep doing the ground ball drills. You do the pitcher fielding drills. You probably have coaches hitting fungos to the outfield, and you got your catchers doing pop-up drills, probably practicing their signs on what happens if there's a runner on second base, and all that kind of stuff. So it's just funny to see.
Yeah, you got to work on those fundamentals. You can never lapse on the fundamentals, and you got to make sure that that muscle memory is in there, because everything's a little different with when you have different guys. When you have now there's a different full-time catcher, so maybe he does things a little differently. Maybe he throws his mask to the left or the right. I don't know. There's different little things.
You don't think these guys are going through these workouts like they're bullshit? Like, how I've done this literally a million times in my life.
No, because I think once... I don't think that. Because I think every single time during a baseball season, it's good to get that work in the beginning of the year, just because you got to go through the motions. You got to get your body used to it again. You got to get your mind clicking on all those. There's so many scenarios in baseball that you have to always give yourself a tune up. I mean, every single year you got to do that. Otherwise you're going to be slipping and then we'll catch it.
It does make me understand why guys like Derek Jeter and stuff, after they've played for 18 plus seasons, why they just do not want to go through the monotony of spring training again.
Yeah. No, it's a lot. There's a lot of stuff, but it's good for us. We like to see it.
Yeah. So many videos. And now that video has been such a big thing on Twitter, so many videos of short little clips of just Chapman throwing a fastball. It's like, yep. Awesome. Get to see that for the 5,000th time. All right. The bad news. This is going to be like a bad news podcast because I feel like everything has a negative connotation to what has been going on with the Yankees. But isn't that really the case that it's usually, if there's news out of spring training, it's usually bad news, right?
This early, I mean, there's nobody popping off the charts right now. I mean, everybody feels good. We know that. But except for
For every video of Gary Sanchez hitting a blast off of the center field scoreboard or whatever it may be, we get the news that Tyler Austin fouled the ball off his foot, broke his foot, is out 6+ weeks. So that pretty much takes him out of spring training, out of the running to make the opening day roster. Because by the time he comes back, he's going to have to rehab. I don't know the exact timetable on when we might see Tyler Austin again, but he's going to have to go back down to Scranton and play well for him to be called back up. Sucks for him. It just really sucks for him because he was one of the first guys that showed up for camp this year. He's been working his ass off, playing third base, playing first base, playing left field and right field. And now bad news, it's just the unlucky news of breaking his foot. Kind of makes everything we talked about with Chris Carter last week just irrelevant.
That's where I disagree.
Why do you disagree?
Because I think this is one of the big reasons they brought him in for this exact reason. If one of these guys, if someone does, they can't depend on a guy like Tyler Austin, who's never played a full major league season, and then Greg Bird, who's coming off of an injury. I think Brian Cashman saw that it was imperative to bring another body in there. And the fact that they got him so late, you know, leads us to believe that that was the case. I mean, there was a value pick at that time, but it was another body to make sure that they had enough behind first base. They didn't want to get into a situation last year like they did last year where they have to have Rob Refsnyder playing first base. And okay. So I think it's extremely relevant.
Well, no, it's certainly relevant. And I understand that Carter was brought in for in case something happens like this. But I mean, it was makes everything we talked about last week in the sense of Carter versus Austin irrelevant.
Yeah, Carter versus Austin. Well, I mean, I think that it was going to be Tyler Austin was not just going to be a first baseman now that Chris Carter was there. You know what I mean? Like he was going to be playing other places. I think so.
I mean, yeah,
he was going to be finding time if he could hit.
He was going to have to hit and hopefully play an corner outfield spot.
I think what it means mostly, and I think we're going to hit on this later, but there's a couple other guys. I think this Tyler Austin's injury actually impacts more, and Refsnyder's definitely one of them. We talked about that going, you know, back last year, how when Tyler Austin came up, he was the guy that was really the nemesis for Refsnyder's playing time because of his flexibility, because he played a little bit all over the place, and he had more pop in the bat. So I think now Refsnyder might have a little bit more of an opportunity to make some noise, and if he can, then it's only good for him.
Well, that makes sense because he was sort of like the diet version of Tyler Austin. And now that Tyler Austin is out of the mix for the time being, Refsnyder can at least move up one notch in the depth chart. But everyone tweeted me as soon as the news came out, like, oh, how do you like the Carter signing now? And as if they predicted that Tyler Austin was going to get injured. And I understand that it does. You got to give credit to Cashman for realizing that he needed to have some more depth there. But hey, you can't say that you expected this kind of thing to happen. It's just unlucky. I still stand by my opinion that I don't like the move when it happened, and I'm still going to wait and see on Carter. If Carter hits, great, I'll root for him. But let's not call it a successful signing until he hits.
Oh, it was definitely a successful signing as of right now, if that's what we're talking about. I mean, nobody has hit yet. So if we're looking at what the signing is currently, it was absolutely a successful signing.
The jury is still out.
I mean, you could say that about everybody.
It's not successful nor unsuccessful.
It was a great signing, though, I must say. Great signing.
All right, let's put to bed, I guess, the debate that you and I had with Napoli versus Carter. We got a email from Ralph. And he says, relatively new to the site and listening to the podcast, definitely enjoy listening to your thoughts on the Yankees. A few quick notes to end the Napoli-Carter debate from last podcast. In 2016, Napoli had a 30% K rate and Carter a 32%. Napoli K'd 194 times versus Carter's 206. Napoli only batted 239, so they are roughly the same player on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, the same thing. Napoli per Fangraphs has a UZR of /150 of -6.1 in 2016. I'm not even going to pretend to know what that means. Carter was a -5.7. -6.1 and -5.7 are basically
pretty
the same
close.
Number. Yeah. Napoli basically cost three times as much as Carter and is basically the same player. Just thought I'd throw up those stats to end the debate. And it's a totally fair point by Ralph. To be 100% honest, I didn't realize that Napoli and Carter were that similar of players. So from the sense of strictly Napoli versus Carter, I understand how there's not much difference. But my argument, and I'm standing by it, is still that you didn't need to sign Holiday plus Carter. You could have just signed Napoli and had the same sort of thing. Now I understand with the injury, it kind of makes all that irrelevant. But, that sort of just kind of puts a little bit of an end to the Napoli versus Carter thing.
Yeah, I really appreciated that email. It made me, as soon as I opened it up and read it, that someone dove into those numbers, I was like, yes, he does suck just as bad as Chris Carter sucks. They both suck equally. They strike out a lot. Both of these guys strike out a lot. That's the bottom line. I think what's lost in this, though, and I think even for when you're looking at your opinion of that, you don't want to sign both of these guys. Again, I think they were choosing Holiday over Napoli at that point, and then they were going to roll with either Austin or Bird. And then I do believe, no matter what that happened, whether they signed Napoli or not, they may have gone out and got a journeyman at the end. But it just so happened that Carter was still there at a crazy number. I still think that's the reason they did it. But Holiday, I mean, you can't compare. If you look at the numbers between Holiday, the three of these guys, Holiday, Carter, and Napoli, I mean, Holiday's numbers, if you look at his career and even over the past few years, minus the time off last year that he missed injury, he's just a much better hitter overall.
Totally. There's no comparison career wise, Holiday, but that's, you just said the injury thing is a huge concern. That's a huge factor there because
I guess
there's a lot of uncertainty with Holiday's health, and there's
I think there's
no
a lot of uncertainty with all of those guys, though. I think that,
well, both Carter and Napoli played full seasons last year.
Yeah, but Napoli's only a year off of being, like, you know, in the dumpster and having a horrible, horrible year. So when he was with Texas the first time, the fact of the matter is that if Holiday's healthy, I mean, he's far superior a bat and will be far superior in this lineup than both of these guys.
I hope so. Yeah. I think sometimes people think I'm rooting against the Yankees. That's the sense I get from some tweets. And let me tell you, that's not the case. I hope the Yankees are successful in everything they do. Just figured I'd throw that out there.
That's good. People should know that.
So more injury news. Mason Williams, who was going to be battling for a backup outfielder spot, I guess has a patella tendon, sore knee. That flared back up. He had that last season, and now that's reoccurring. So that's another injury to watch. Other news. We kind of mentioned Ref Snyder before, so let's get to Ref Snyder right now. He was quoted as saying, "I don't know where I fit on the Yankees roster." That was obviously, I think, before the Austin injury, right?
Yeah, you know, it was. I think the quote was before the Austin. I'm pretty sure it was. Whether he knew Austin was hurt at that point, and you know, I'm sure the Yankees didn't release it for a few days. He had fouled the ball off his foot, I think, last week. Anyway, he doesn't know because there's no clear path. It's a utility guy, but where is he going to be the utility guy? I mean, I don't even think he knows where he's going to be playing. So where they're going to ask him to play? Because what we've learned in the offseason when we were talking to some of the guys that we had on the show and interviewed them. It doesn't seem like the Yankees actually tell these guys a lot in the offseason, like where they expect, you know, them to play. I know Mateo, we got quotes from Mateo that he was down in Dominican and he was taking some balls in the outfield, but the Yankees hadn't told him that they were expecting him to play the outfield a little bit. So I don't know how much they actually tell these guys. And, I think Ref Snyder still needs to find that fit, whether it's going to be at second base and then the outfield, or they are going to try him again at another infield spot. I don't know.
The Yankees totally mishandled Ref Snyder in 2015, because I think that you and I are in agreement that Ref Snyder is not, nor was he ever going to be a superstar or even an all-star or even a really good everyday player. A really good everyday player is sort of where his ceiling was going to be. But there's still a lot of value in that. And the Yankees missed his value window because they were playing Steven Drew, down the stretch in 2015 instead of Ref Snyder. And then finally, with like 3 weeks to go, Girardi got his head out of his ass and put Ref Snyder in the lineup, and he was playing well. But that, by that point, it was too late for Ref Snyder to really build up any trade value of any note. And then in the offseason, the Yankees traded for Starlin Castro, and Ref Snyder stuck back down to Scranton. So you could have easily played him over Steven Drew. Who knows? Maybe the Yankees don't fall out of the AL East, first place in the AL East to Toronto in 2015 if you have an actual bat in the lineup instead of Steven Drew. And then you could have gotten something for Rob Ref Snyder because he would have built up trade value. Instead, he's just going to be, they're going to ride him out until his contract is up, and he's going to sign with somebody else.
That's exactly what's going to happen. They're going to go until he doesn't have any more options, because they're going to probably flip him back and forth. He's going to be that utility guy. And if they need him, they'll bring him up. If they don't, they'll send him back down. And whenever he's out of options, something's going to have to happen. And because I just don't see a long-term fit. There's nowhere for him to play. I mean, even as a utility guy, I just don't think that the organization has the confidence in him on the defensive side to put him as a utility guy and to be that utility guy, because that utility guy needs to come in at the end of the game, and Girardi needs to have the, a guy that he can rely on and depend on. And we know what he uses for those guys. He uses veteran players usually for those types of positions. And it's just obvious that they don't have confidence in him on the defensive side. So I don't see how he could fit that utility role. And to tell you the truth, to be frank and to be very honest, he's got to hit better. I mean, he does, because he had some opportunities last year. He didn't hit very well. He's got to hit better.
He didn't have any real consistent opportunity at the major league level.
But he's not going to. That's the thing.
Well, he did in the 3 weeks in 2015, he actually hit.
2015 is a long time ago then. I mean, looking now and moving forward, that bat's got to be hot. When he gets the opportunity, he's got to put together good at-bats. He's got to get on base, and he's got to make things happen. I mean, that's where his value is, on the offensive side. So he's really got to make sure that offense is clicking this year.
Yeah. Other news, the Yankees signed former Met John Neese to a minor league deal. woohoo! I guess maybe we could
solidified.
Maybe we could see him out of the bullpen at some point this summer. I don't know. He had a little knee issue towards the end of the season. The Mets, who traded him to Pittsburgh, got him back from Pittsburgh, declined his option. So I guess John Neese doesn't have to sell his apartment in Manhattan. That's the only thing that is going for him right now. And then finally, we've just been seeing some stuff that Gleyber Torres continues to impress and back up the fact that he's not only the Yankees' number one prospect, but one of the best prospects in baseball.
Yeah, definitely. I think just his the way he handles himself still and comes into spring ready to go and working hard. There have been just whispers about his ethics, his work ethic and just the way he's handling himself. And he continues to impress. The kid puts his head down and works hard, and you can tell that he wants to be a great baseball player, and not much else matters at this point. And that's awesome to see from a guy who's as highly touted as Torres. So
maybe a little bit of the opposite of Clint Frazier.
Possibly, yeah. I don't know. He's
not
a new girl.
Clint Frazier is not going to be a great baseball player, but we see that that Clint is definitely concerned with some of the other stuff going on surrounding being a baseball player, which is fine.
All he's posting now is his girl, pictures of his girl. So I think he might have been settled down. Now he's going to focus down. So let's just hope the girl isn't too much of a distraction at this point.
Yeah, interesting choice on when to get a girlfriend, right around Valentine's Day before the season starts. Kind of not the best decision.
Yeah, I'm really questioning that one. I don't agree with that.
Something tells me it's not going to last very long.
Yeah, let's hope it doesn't mess
with him. Or it could be his future wife. Who knows?
Could be the one.
And taking Austin's spot on the spring training invitee list is Billy McKinney, who you'll remember from the Chapman trade back last summer. McKinney is an outfielder, 22 years old. I thought he was older at first, but he's only 22 years old. So he maybe, if he impresses, can be a potential backup outfielder and get your favorite player, Aaron Hicks, off the roster.
Yeah, this is a guy that's definitely He's coming back ready to prove something. I mean, he was a top 100 guy last year in 2016. He didn't make the list this year, and largely because he's been battling an injury. I mean, last year he was coming back off of an injury, and from everything I've read, he didn't seem like he was healthy. But this is a kid with a lot of talent. This is another one of those pieces in that deal. And now that he's on the, we're going to see him in spring. So I'm actually excuse me. I'm excited to see him and see what he can do offensively.
You just as what I'm, happened as there?
I think the squirrel just did something through something at me.
All right, I'll talk for a little bit. You can take a sip of water. Now, what everyone has been waiting for us to get to, I'm sure, is the Dellin Betances stuff. Quickly, let's go through the facts. Yankees won the arbitration case against Betances. They're going to be paying him $3 million next year. That's a $2.5 million raise from last three seasons for Betances. So no one's feeling bad for Dellin saying he's going to be poor. Let's just get that out of the way. $3 million is still a hell of a lot of money, and I'm happy he's going to be finally making some cash because he's been one of the best pitchers over the last three seasons in baseball. What the Yankees used against Betances in their arbitration hearing was the fact that he struggled in September as the Yankees closer, the fact that he did not win the closer job over Andrew Miller in 2015, and they used his slow delivery to the plate against him. And then perhaps the most ridiculous thing that they said, I saw that Brendan Cuddy reported that they even used declining second half ticket sales on Betances last year. How they made that link, I don't know, but that might be the most asinine thing I've ever heard.
The funny thing about that is, you know, whenever we talked about when Chapman signed and we were talking about Chapman after the trade and the potential of him coming back, I think one of my big points for Chapman off the field is that he's exciting and people like to see him in the ninth inning. And people will actually come to a game for the chance to see a guy throw 105 miles an hour. So actually, if you want to really be technical about it, the Yankees are the ones who got, they shipped Chapman out. And for that reason, probably declined sales because he, you know, that's one less guy to come and see. So I don't know. It's absolutely bizarre for them to even bring that up.
But hold on. Maybe ticket sales didn't back this up. Clearly they didn't back this up in 2016, but the team played better and was younger and more exciting in the second half of last year. Yeah. If I would guess TV ratings went up, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I probably, I mean, there's no doubt that it was a lot more excitement in the air. There was a buzz. There was a lot of things going on. It's an asinine comment.
Do you think when Brian Cashman was sitting there on July 31st last year, having already traded Chapman and already traded and trading Andrew Miller and trading Ivan Nova and Carlos Beltran, was that decision made by Brian Cashman or Dellin Betances? Who made that decision to trade all those guys?
It was Betances. He's a selfish player. He wanted to make sure he was the guy.
Forgot. So I guess it is Dellin's fault for the Yankees selling at the trade deadline and then having declining ticket sales. I would have lost my shit if I was Betances and his agent after the Yankees came with that argument.
It's, you know, the bottom line with the comments that were made about Betances is they were just completely unnecessary. Walking into this arbitration process, knowing what they knew, knowing the precedents that had been set for guys that were not closers, they knew they were going to win this deal. Everybody knew they were going to win. Betances really didn't have much of a leg to stand on, to tell you the truth, if you're talking about the facts on the arbitration case itself. So why not just take your victory, you know, if you call it a victory, if that's what you see it as, and just move forward. And I don't understand why the comments, the comments don't need to be made. There's no benefit for these comments. All you're doing is putting yourself in a position now to be condescending and to talk down about somebody who was just trying to get, you know, as much money as they possibly could. Because that's what he should do, right? That's what he should do.
Of course. Three or four weeks ago when it was announced that they would go to arbitration, you and I talked, is there going to be bad blood between the two sides? And now there is bad blood. That's undeniable. And it's 100% Randy Levine and the Yankees' fault, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the player's fault for going into arbitration because they're trying to get as much money for them as possible. It's the agent's job to see if the arbitration is even a possibility for them to win, or if it's not, there needs to be some foresight and then, you know, work with the team for a deal that could get as much money knowing that you're going to lose arbitration. So I think that there was probably an error on the agent Murray for going into arbitration and not making a deal because he probably could have gotten a couple more bucks. Right. But that very well could have been like Dellin saying, hey, I'm going to go to arbitration. I want to try to get as much money as possible. Who knows? That could have been player driven. We don't know what happened behind the scenes.
Well, I guess the Yankees,
it doesn't matter though. It's all of that is a moot point. The fact is these things, just the comments don't need to be made, especially for the second year in a row. by a guy that is not a baseball operations guy.
Yes.
Stay behind the scenes.
Why are these people president and PR director and all these guys? So like you said, Lon Truss, it was last February when the whole thing with the Yankees tickets, Lon Truss came out and said that the fans who buy the expensive tickets don't want to sit next to people who buy cheap tickets. Basically segregating the two classes of Yankee fans, which is completely ridiculous. Right. Now, a year later, it's Randy Levine who's saying some jackassery things about Betances. Let's go through some of them. All right. First quote from Levine. What his agents, Jim Murray, did was make him a victim and attempt to change a marketplace in baseball that has been well established for 30 to 40 years. And I feel bad for Dellen that he was used in that way. Next quote. Dellen's been great, but he doesn't have the statistics in the ninth inning or the saves. At the end of the day, it was obvious he was not getting $5 million unless it was a fluke. And the final quote.
The best one.
It's like me saying I'm not the president of the Yankees. I'm an astronaut. No, I'm not an astronaut, and Dellen Betances is not a closer. And then it was also tweeted by Joel Sherman that Levine was calling him Dylan, not Dellen, which is just a little cherry on top of the douchery.
As a side note, did you see that someone changed the Wikipedia page for Levine and said that he was an astronaut?
Yes. Beautiful. I love Yankees fans.
That's hilarious. But yeah, again, just they don't need to be said. The last comment is just completely condescending. There's no reason for anything to be said like that.
Why is Levine getting up there with his big fat face and sticking his big fat foot in his mouth? Why? Why does if I were Steinbrenner, I'd be like, your job description is to not create bad PR for us, and that's exactly what you just did.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not just bad PR. It's bad relations with your players, because guess what's happening? The other players are looking at it as well. Other players around the league who might sign with the Yankees are looking at it as well. There's a lot of things that that trickle down from something like this. And, you know, the players tend to talk, and they're, you know, a lot of the agents talk. And I mean, remember when Scott Boras was out there just making ridiculous deals, like a lot of teams did not want to deal with Scott Boras players because they knew what they were getting themselves into. So, you know, things like that in any workplace, people talk, you get a reputation, and it can affect the way things happen. It can affect some of the business. And that's a shame. There's no reason for any of these things to be said.
Levine was definitely bullied as a kid, right?
I don't know. I think there's some kind of a complex there where he just, you know, there's a lot of these guys just, I think when you get that high up and you start the business side of it, they just, you know, you can tell by the comments. The comments are completely condescending. I mean, it's like he probably didn't mean to be condescending when he was saying it. It just happens naturally.
How do you accidentally be condescending when he throws out the astronaut comment? That is insane.
I don't know. Maybe he's like, you know, maybe he wanted to be a marine biologist, only he wanted to be an astronaut, and that's the first thing that came to his head. I don't know. Maybe he went to Armstrong astronaut camp as a kid.
If I'm Cashman and Girardi, you've got to sit down with these guys and be like, please just say no comment when you're asked about shit like this. Why? Like, now, this could only affect Betances negatively. He's trying to take the high ground, and I hope he does, and I'm confident it's not going to affect him on the field, but it might.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's, for him, he's just in a strange spot because he's under control through 2019, right? And he's going to be gone. I mean, there's no doubt about it. So now we're looking at the summer before his contract is up, or the summer of the contract being up. Looking at Dellen Betances as an obvious trade candidate because...
Or even sooner.
Because they're not going to re-sign him.
Who knows? Maybe there's this bad blood does not go away.
I mean, and they could probably get a very, very hefty, you know, bounty from a guy like Dellen Betances because he will slot in as a closer everywhere else.
He's got to want... If I were him, I'd want out. I don't know.
The fact of the matter is, unfortunately for him, is he was screwed walking into this. And I do put some onus on the agent, because the agent's got to know that as well. Like, you got to know what the precedents are, and the fact that baseball really does stick to a lot of these, especially when they're going to an arbitration case. You got to know what you're getting yourself into. And
yes, because they asked for a record amount of money, but
yeah.
I would think Betances and his agent were under the assumption that everything that was said would remain behind closed doors, and they would deal with it like professionals, not like children, go up there and criticize each other.
Oh, no doubt. I'm not talking about that side of it. I'm just talking about strictly dollars and cents, where if he was trying to get as much money as possible, they should not have even gone to the arbitration. They probably should have made a deal, because I guarantee there was a little bit more money there, you know, to not go to arbitration.
Maybe he thought an independent arbiter would see the fact that he's been one of the three or four best relief pitchers in baseball for three straight seasons.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I think they look at precedence more than what it's going to be crazy, because if you think about what's happening, if we see what happened last year and we're trying to, you know, we're seeing this as a trend moving forward, which you and I talk about, you know, that we do see a lot of these closers that are getting those save stats are going to be used more as a Swiss Army knife, kind of like the way Andrew Miller and Chapman were used last year in the playoffs. If that does happen more often, and that is the case more often, then now there's going to be a new precedent, because those save numbers are going to be down. These guys are going to be pitching in different innings. Then these arbitration, at that point, if you have a full season of that stuff and you have, you know, maybe a couple more cases, I think at that point you're going to start seeing some flux in the arbitration process, because you're going to see these big relief closers pitching at different places in the game.
Yeah. And I just think using saves as a stat for deciding arbitration is so stupid. It's so arbitrary, because what if you are a closer, but you're on a terrible team and you don't get save opportunities, but you put up really good strikeout numbers and walk numbers and hit numbers and ERA, but you just don't have a lot of saves because you play for the Minnesota Twins and they blow. So that's going to affect you in arbitration. It's like, it's kind of like wins for a starting pitcher. I mean, it does have some merit, but it shouldn't be the end all be all.
Right.
The whole thing, though, it's just I'm sick and tired of seeing non-baseball people talk about on-field stuff.
Yeah, they just don't need to be talking to the media in the first place, honestly. Like, the people that need to talk to the media about the New York Yankees are the people that make on-field decisions, because that's what we care about, and then the ownership of the Steinbrenner family. Like, there needs to be one guy, and that was one of the big things we talked about last year when Lon Trust came out and started talking. If we're going to have the front office talking, there needs to be one united voice, and it probably needs to be Hal Steinbrenner, and that's it. I mean, he seems to be doing very well when he talks to the media. I mean, he has decent command, I think. I feel like Hal, while people may not like his style, I think a lot of people are so used to the way his father did things. I actually think he's been doing a good job. I think he's been more open as of late, but he needs to be the guy talking. Like, these guys just don't need to talk. Yeah. Period.
I agree. Before we get into mailbags, I want to take a second to please ask people to rate and review the podcast in iTunes. I know people have been doing it and we love it. There's a lot of good reviews, 5-star reviews. 3 haters still that think we are only worthy of 1 stars. They must be Mets fans or Red Sox fans. But thank you to everyone who's given that the podcast a rating and review, and please continue to do so. All right, Scott, you ready to get into mailbags?
Yes, and a quick side note on the ratings and reviews. Did you know that we have a totally different ranking system in the UK? We got a message from someone in the UK about that he screenshotted a review, and I looked at it. I'm like, whoa, it says like 14 reviews. What is this? And it was the UK App Store. So there's a totally different thing out there that we don't even know about. We're going to get some screenshots.
Yeah, I got to see. Can we access those?
I can't even stalk it. I got no stalking abilities.
Are they 5 stars or are they 1 stars?
They were, I don't even remember. I got to look at it again.
All right. First mailbag comes from our friend Sock Therapy. And I think he was smoking some damn good weed when he wrote this one. No game or anything this week, but I have 2 questions. What's scarier, the thought that we are alone in this universe, there is no God, and that one day the sun will burn out, causing our galaxy to implode on itself, killing all living behind nothing but emptiness and darkness, or the fact that we have money-hungry, corporatist, capitalist swine like Randy Levine and Lon Truss running the front office? And then he goes on to say, also, what is it going to take for these people to get reprimanded? It seems like year after year, these front office guys make some stupid comment that makes the Yankees look bad, and year after year, nothing happens to them. Steinbrenner has to start pulling up his socks and protecting his players and his franchise. Kind of reiterate a lot of what we just said, but I guess, do you expect Steinbrenner to actually reprimand them in any sort of way? Do you think he reprimanded Lon Truss last year when he said that crap about the ticket prices, and do you think he's going to say anything to Levine?
You know, as far as reprimanding, I don't know what you could possibly do besides take the mic away. I mean, that's the biggest thing. I think that Steinbrenner should absolutely put a gag order on everybody in the organization besides him, Brian Cashman, and Joe Girardi. Those are the three guys that we need to hear from, and that's it. I mean, we pretty much have everybody covered when you're talking about the organization if we hear from those three guys. So that's all that needs to happen. I mean, just don't talk to the media. If you do have comments to make, if they make you say something, say very general things. Don't make opinions. Just say facts. And get the hell out of there.
Randy Levine think he has fans out there that are going to side with him?
Again, I don't think he cares. I'm telling you, I don't think there's a thought process. I'm like, oh, I'm going to piss people off. I think he just says what's on his mind, and that was what's on his mind. I don't think there's a lot of forethought here.
Well, that's a problem when you're the president of the freaking Yankees. But
yeah.
But fans identify with players, not the baseball executives and the GM and the manager. They side and identify with the players.
But that's the thing, though. They can. They also can. I mean, fans sided with George Steinbrenner. Fans side or take, you know, polarizing ownerships from different teams, and they either are with him or they're against him. You know what I mean? Like, that's part of the team, I think. But nobody cares about the trickle down, like all the other guys, all the other lieutenants underneath the owner. I mean, honestly, there just needs to be one guy talking about the major scope of things, and that's it. These other guys just don't need to talk. I mean, they're probably very good at their job, right? Probably very good at running numbers, doing what they do. Whatever they do, they're probably good at it. He probably knew damn well that he was going to win that arbitration case, and that's good for the Yankees, right? For the organization, good for them. What was bad for them is when he started doing things that he's not good at, and that's talking to the media. So let's just nip that one in the butt.
I honestly rather hear like Cousin Brewski, the beer vendor's comments on Betances than Randy Levine.
Yeah, they would be terrific. Probably very positive. You know, talking about the kid being a New York guy, that we appreciate all of his efforts, and that, you know, he's going to get every opportunity to win a World Series with this team. Let's just say that.
If you want a funny laugh, just search Levine Betances on Twitter and just see all the angry crap that Yankee fans had to say about him. And I bet he knows all this stuff that was said. But like you said, he probably doesn't care. So, all right, what do we have next?
Next is from Frank. Frank says, hey guys, I'm a new listener as of this December. This is easily the best Yankees podcast available. So keep up the good work. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate that. Also, I bought Buster Olney's book, The Last Night of the Yankees Dynasty, that was talked about on the show, and I love it. Anyway, I'm curious to see if you have any personal nicknames for any of the current Yankee players. Personally, I like to call Gary Sanchez the Sanchez as a funny way to troll Mark Sanchez. Also, I like calling Didi Mr. Deeds because of the movie.
Well, first of all, I better get like a little cut of that book sale.
Oh, yeah. You're probably not going to get any cut of that book sale.
Did I see you tweet or post that you're going back and reading some old Yankees books too?
Yeah, I have an archive, and I've been going back, and I wouldn't say I'm necessarily reading the whole book. I'm just kind of thumbing through things, just rejogging my memory because, you know, my 20s were, as I've said on this show, my 20s were not good to me in my memory, and some details get foggy, so I have to go back and, you know, as we progress further into the show and more into Yankee stuff and hopefully some success on the horizon, I gotta make sure that my brain is back where it used to be.
Did you see, speaking of Yankees books, did you see, I forget who wrote about this. Oh, it was that link you sent me about from that blog who took something from Joe Torre's book.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
His way of dealing with Randy was, Randy, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
So this has been going on for a few years with Levine.
As far as nicknames for any of the players, I don't know. The Sanchez, I completely veto. I mean, that just can't happen. Mark Sanchez was not good for anybody. I mean, there's trolling Mark Sanchez, in my opinion, is just not even like a thing to do anymore. We just need to forget about him forever.
I think El Gary, the Kraken, El Kraken.
I like it. Yeah.
All of those are good for Sanchez.
Yeah. I am Gary. I like, you know, El Kraken is like more of a nickname. The fact that he calls himself, the hashtag I am Gary, I think it's just funny. I'm not even sure he really understands like how narcissistic it is, because it's not the meaning behind it.
I think it comes from a really innocent place with him.
Absolutely. I think so too. but it's funny when you look at it. If you're an opposing fan and you don't know the player or the guy behind the baseball player, you're looking at that and you're like, oh, this guy's a cocky son of a bitch.
Right. Because you kind of can imagine like Bryce Harper saying that. I am Bryce.
Right. And I would probably think the exact same thing. He's, well, because he is a cocky son of a bitch. But
right. But Gary does not portray himself as a cocky son of a bitch other than that one hashtag.
And there was a video on Instagram when he had his birthday. Did you see this? When he got the birthday cake and everybody's like singing and dancing for him.
No.
And there was just a look on his face like, yes, dance, sing, dance. give me my cake. It was pretty good. I think there's a little bit of it, but I don't think he tries it.
Well, hopefully he doesn't let success get to his head. He kind of blew it. I mean, obviously he blew up last season. Signed that deal with Steiner Sports. Is going on Francesa, so his ego probably was inflated quite a bit in August and September of last year.
Yeah, no doubt. The other ones, the judge, I mean, just the judge is so simple, I think. I mean, that one's got to be it, right? It's the fact that his last name is Judge and he's a giant, massive human being.
Yeah, like, there's no, it's like the perfect last name for Judge, and you're right, it doesn't really need anything else.
You just put a the in front of it and you're like, okay, that's perfect. And
too
then
easy,
And then Frazier, I mean, he got it from Cleveland, but I like it. I think it's good. Is the Red Thunder. I think it's a good.
But he even said on this podcast he needs Yankees fans to embrace him with a nickname, and maybe they
but
will.
That could be it. That could be it. Yeah. I mean, I think it's very fitting. It's got to be something about his hair. There's no doubt about that.
We were talking about like Red Hammer, right?
Yeah, we did. We did throw some other ones out there. I don't even remember what they were, but I don't know. We'll as he progresses, hopefully he can fly through AAA and we'll get some more serious thought into that.
What do you think of Mr. Deeds for Didi?
If I'm being honest.
Not an Adam Sandler fan?
I'm a big Adam Sandler fan. I just the words work together. I don't know. I just don't see it. Does he have a black left foot that does like dead and like he sticks things through?
I think Sterling, as bad as his nicknames are, every now and again, he'll pull one out. That's pretty good. So I tend to lean towards Sterling on a lot of these things. I always look forward to hearing what Sterling's call for a new Yankee home run is.
It's getting dangerous though. The him making the nicknames at this point in his career.
Well, they're bad,
too.
Good. They're bad, good. It's,
I know,
it's
but
good
they're
in a bad way.
But they're getting bad too. They're getting, as we go further and deeper into the terrific, amazing, stellar career of John Sterling, the nicknames are getting a little bit worse.
How much longer do you think Sterling and Susan have in them?
I don't know.
Not before they die, but just before they no
before
longer
they get
call
forced
baseball
out.
Games. Yeah.
I think they're going to get forced out probably, I don't know when the time frame is. It's not going to be their decision, though. They're going to get forced out at some point. You're seeing it all over the sports realm, you know, even with like ESPN and Tom Jackson and Berman getting kind of, you know, pushed to the side a little bit. You're going to start seeing that too, I think. Especially with
most Yankee fans like them, though.
I think the older generation of Yankees fans, or I say older generation, I'm talking about not the young Yankees fans probably like them. I don't know how many young fans, you know, listen to them still all the time.
Yeah, not many
radio.
Not many 17-year-old Yankee fans are listening to the radio. But I just for fun one time this summer, if you're out there, just put on a random radio broadcast or even a TV broadcast of an opposing team and just hear how boring it is. And just think that we have John Sterling to at least give us some excitement and some laughs. Yeah, maybe he calls a home run when it's really a foul ball, or he complains that the umpire isn't calling the strikes fast enough, or he'll even say somebody made a diving catch when the ball was fouled back into the stands. That's okay. It's more fun than listening to somebody drone on and just literally call the action that's going on in a very dry manner.
Quite often misname a player who does something in the game as well.
Yeah, it's part of the charm.
It is. I love it. I mean, you're not gonna find me complaining if they do it forever. I just, being a realist on that subject, I have a feeling they're gonna get forced out at some point. I could see because Sweeney Murdy's always in there. I could see him at some point taking a larger role.
Maybe as the color analyst to John Sterling.
I could see him. I could see him stepping in at some point. It's my.
I feel like with John and Susan, we've been watching like a very like a 20-year running sitcom, and just all the sexual tension between them, and then finally at the end, they're gonna announce something.
Oh, that's taking it. That's taking it to a different level.
Do you remember that game last year? It was like a rain delay. So, and it was a little cold, so they had the window shut, and they showed the a shot of the booth with John and Susan, and the windows were all fogged up. And then the Twitter just, or Twitter, I mean, a couple people who are in on the joke just went around saying that they finally got bored in the rain delay and went at it.
Oof. That's a sight. Get that one into your head. John, it's Roger. He's in the box.
All right. Do you feel any better getting anything off your chest about Betances and the whole Levine comments, or are you still a little angry?
I feel better for talking about the squirrel, to tell you the truth. That's the biggest thing for me. I needed to get that one out of there.
At least we solved something.
I'm just ready to move on to some baseball action. So we got a game coming up, you know, this week, which is awesome. We got some actual baseball. Remember grown men throwing baseballs back and forth. It's going to be terrific.
How could
it's
I forget that extreme analysis for me?
No, it's going to be good. Oh, and by the way, I'm a complete jackass. I forgot to mention this early on. When I was buying tickets for us to go to the game, right?
Yes,
I bought tickets for, so I need to make this announcement because if someone's going to the game, I bought tickets for this Friday, which happens to be a Friday, which is the 24th, and they're playing the Phillies, which is the exact same scenario in March that it is in February. I don't know. What are the odds of that? Very, very small. But my dumb ass bought tickets for this Friday's game, which I'm not going to be at. And they're awesome seats. I was so excited for them. They're like right next to the dugout in the first row. They're ideal seats. Like, you want to get an autograph? These seats are where you get an autograph. That's like the place where players go. So if you're in Tampa and you need tickets for this Friday's game, hit me up. I will give you a good deal. You don't have to pay any of those fees. I'm just trying to get rid of them. Make some of that money back. So hit me up.
Oh, look at you. All right. Thanks to everyone who submitted mailbags. You can do that at bronxpinstripes.com/podcast. You can tweet us at Yankees Podcast, at Scott Ryan, and at Andrew_Rotondi. I did not screw it up this time. The voicemail line, 646-480-0342. I'm a little surprised we didn't get any angry voicemails about Betances.
Yeah, I think it was more just unsaid, you know what I mean? I think people were expecting us to talk about the fact that it was such a big story this week, and it really just took over everything, unfortunately. The first week of baseball, or second week of baseball, really, but, you know, that they're this has to overshadow. It's just unfortunate. Hopefully it'll go away.
All right, good stuff. I hope that squirrel dies and it's no longer torturing you. Hope everyone has a good week. We'll talk to you next time.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.